John Kurtz back with Mitch Fortner. Tyler Dreiling going to join me for Hour 2. We'll have Cole Manbeck in a little bit later for Powercat Game Day between 6 and 7 as well. And 8 o'clock for the tip-off tonight between K-State and Kansas. Hour 2 of Wildcat Insider, 525. Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, joins the show. How much is the off-the-court stuff affecting Kansas on the court as of right now heading into the game tonight? But right now, speaking of Bramlage in this game, we check in with Wyatt Thompson, who is already out there at Bramlage. K-State just had their shoot around. Wyatt, appreciate the time and joining me here on Wildcat Insider. I'm sure it's got to be a pretty good vibe after everything that K-State did on Saturday and getting that win over Baylor.
Absolutely. You could see at shoot around really from start to finish, and they went from about 2:30 to just after 4 o'clock, just kind of walking through some things, that there was a lot more excitement. The excitement level was certainly enhanced, if you will, based off Saturday, and frankly, the fact that they've got their state rival in here tonight. So I thought it was crisp and well done, and we'll see what happens here at about 8 o'clock.
And obviously there's a ton that they got accomplished winning the game in terms of their tournament resume and all that, but to me, one of the bigger things that they did is just proving to themselves and the fans and everybody that they could go win a game like that. How much did they need that coming off the TCU game?
I can't even put it into its proper words. I'll just say paramount. Is how important it was. I think we saw a basketball team that at the end of the regulation stretch Wednesday night against TCU, and certainly in the overtime session, I thought you saw a team that was kind of tight and pressing, and as Coach described it, playing not to lose as opposed to playing to win. I thought that was accurate. I don't know if you agree with that or not, John, but that's what I felt like I saw. Saturday, it was a lot different. I mean, they came out with much more aggression, especially on the defensive end, but offensively too. The job, as an example, that Barry Brown did on Manu LeConte really kind of swung the game, at least early, in Kansas State's favor. It was a challenge in the second half. We all understand that. And to score 19 points in the second half and still win the game, I know some people would want to see the downside of that and gripe about, you know, the offense, and I get it. But I also would like to say, hang on a minute now and appreciate, you know, how well they played defense for 40 minutes. They by far held Baylor to their lowest total of the year, and it wasn't close.
Yeah, you know, I was mentioning earlier in the show, we got a tweet about it, and that same sentiment, you know, hey, Baylor lost that game, K-State didn't win it because of the way K-State finished. I maybe it's just me. I'm not going to apologize for winning a road game at a top five team and beating a team ranked that highly on the road for the first time since 1994. I just have a hard time seeing how you look at it through that lens.
I guess that's in part what makes, you know, what we do so much fun, John. And there are certainly differing opinions, different ways to look at things. But I'm probably more in your corner. I just thought that K-State, 40 minutes, really played solid defense. And if you want to say and look at the downside, it was the second half offense. There's no question about that. But I would even also go to this far. I haven't heard anybody give any credit to Baylor at all for a couple of adjustments they made defensively at halftime, which I thought was a factor in the game, too. There were two teams out there. We got to remember that, always in my mind.
Well, and let's go back to the fast start. Obviously, defense was a huge part of it. I mean, K-State really got Baylor turned over, sped up. They got a lot of layups, which helped build the 19-point lead. But offensively, Dean Wade was the guy that really came out of the chute firing. I mean, he had 12 points, 6 rebounds in the game, but he scored 6 of K-State's first 8. How encouraging was that, and how much better is he feeling with the foot issue that he's had now?
You know what? I think he's pretty close to back to normal, to be honest with you. And I don't think it really was a concern at all on Saturday. I believe that as a group, that they were motivated to come out and make a statement. I can't sit here and tell you with certainty that they knew from the tip that they were going to win that game. On the other hand, I think they were really ready to play, and that they were, if you were around them, and I think you were Wednesday night, afterwards, at least for a little bit, you saw a team that was as down as I've seen them in quite some time here. And to respond like that, I was unbelievably encouraged by that. And I hope everybody else is, too, that likes to wear purple.
Yeah, and, you know, Dean Wade just seems like such a key. I mean, we start looking ahead to this game tonight. He was so good against Kansas, and then the West Virginia game that K-State won, he had a really good ball game there, and then this game against Baylor as well. It just seems like I would classify those three as the best games that K-State has played this year, and in all three, Dean Wade has been a guy that's had a really good game and therefore sort of underscores his importance.
Well, we've said all along that the strength of this team, right, wrong, or indifferent, is their versatility and the fact that, you know, those front five or six guys are pretty good, and K-State's pretty good when they're all doing their part. That includes Dean, and I think we've seen that play out. I was looking at some notes that Tom Gilbert put out in his release for the ballgame tonight and talked about the Wildcat starters there. Four of the five are averaging roughly between 14.3 and 11.2, and Dean's just under 10. So that's pretty consistent there for the most part in terms of the numbers. I know it goes deeper than that, but when Dean is more in that 12 to 15 point range, our point, I think, that we're trying to make is this. Look at the difference that it makes in Kansas State as a team. That's the Dean Wade that they need. He had 20 in the game, and Lawrence had 12 and 6, as you mentioned, Saturday. When he's in that kind of vicinity, K-State's just better, simply stated.
You know, with DJ Johnson, who had 9 points and six rebounds in 36 minutes as well, I thought one of the most interesting things that I heard come out of the post-game press conference was both he and Bruce Weber discussing, actually I think it was Bruce that was telling the story, that late in the TCU game he was scared off by the fact that he had four fouls and maybe wasn't as aggressive defensively as he could have been down the stretch. He didn't worry about it, even though he had four fouls against Baylor, and he came up with the two biggest defensive plays of the game, back-to-back really on Jonathan Motley there. That seemed to me to be one of the more just intriguing points about the adjustments that K-State made from TCU to Baylor.
I mentioned in another interview today, John, that Stan Weber and I were sitting just in front of DJ on the plane back, and we talked about the block to end the game a little bit. And I think he was, without question, 100% certain that that ball was going back in there, just like the previous one did to Motley. And Motley came within an eyelash of making that first shot. You saw it. And to block that, I thought, was awesome. Here's the thing about it that I want to make the point on. I said to him, it's a very quick turnaround, and he kind of chuckled and said, especially when, as soon as we land, I'm going to the practice facility to practice free throws. That was a pretty telling statement to me, and how much he cares and how much he wants to be a part of this team and be a major factor. Don't you think?
Yeah, I love hearing that. I mean, he was 1 for 4 down the stretch from the free throw line. But
and 1 for 6 from the game. He was right at 70% a year ago, and he's quite a bit underneath that right now. It bothers him. And to, you know, as soon as we land, he jumps in the truck and heads to the Ice Family Basketball Center. I think that says a lot about what he's all about.
No doubt. I don't think anybody is going to question the want-to of DJ Johnson, and you can see that in the way that he plays, and it was good to have him back on track a little bit in that game against Baylor. You know, Kamau Stokes also had a really nice game, 15 points. He obviously led the team in scoring and hit some big shots in the first half to get him going, but one of the plays that we kind of forget about, I think, because of the DJ Johnson defensive heroics, that step-back jumper that Kamau Stokes hit late in the game right before the LeCompte 3, look how big that winds up being in the full context of everything.
Well, especially as hard as it was to get offense at that point, it was a most difficult shot. And really, the little floater that he had in the lane, too, I hope we don't forget that one. That was not the world's easiest. I'm fortunate here. I get to see K-State practice from time to time, probably certainly more than most. And that's kind of a shot that Kamau's continued to work on before practice, during practice, after practice, whatever the case may be. But that was a big-time shot, and obviously the step-back three was. I really appreciate Kamau in kind of the same vein that we talked about with DJ in terms of his work ethic. He wants to be good at this.
Well, it looks like we may have lost Wyatt there. We'll see if we can get his phone connection as we head to break and see if we can just get him for the next 5 minutes or so on the other side, talk a little bit about Kansas and the matchup here. But, again, chatting with Wyatt Thompson live from Bramlage Coliseum here on Wildcat Insider. When we return, look at the Jayhawks and the matchups in this one to wrap up hour one of the show. Again, this is Wildcat Insider.